You are listening to AWOL Radio, a production of the Grand River Media Collective. As it has been since 2008, I am your host, Dan Keller, and I want to welcome you to the show. For past episodes of AWOL Radio and more from the Grand River Media Collective, please visit grandrivermc.ca. AWOL Radio live broadcasts weekly from 102.7 FM in Waterloo, Ontario, radiowaterloo.ca on the web, from 4 to 5 p.m. on Fridays. We broadcast from the territories of the Anishinaabek, Haudenosaunee, and Neutral Nations, in the land of the Dish with One Spoon and Two-Row Wampum Treaties, within the boundaries of the Haldimand Proclamation, and with the intention of honoring these treaties and the many other historical and contemporary agreements our settler governments have made. We do this with the idea of protecting the land and the water for those who come after us. Today we speak with Stacy Gomez, a member of Known as Illegal Halifax, Jibuktuk, and one of the many people working to support the Roblero Morales family as they struggle through the difficult process of seeking asylum and permanent residency from the Canadian state. In the spring of 2017, the Roblero Morales family crossed the border from the United States and made a refugee claim in Canada. While the family has been welcomed by communities in Waterloo, Ontario, where they have been living, the Canadian government has not been as welcoming, first denying them refugee status, then on November 2nd, 2019, deporting the father of the family, Daniel Roblero, to Guatemala, a country where he fears for his safety. Weeks prior to his deportation, Daniel was arrested by the Waterloo Regional Police while driving his children to school. The police then handed Daniel over to the Canadian border agents, and after hunting down the rest of the family, the Canadian state detained the whole family. While Sandra and five of the family's children were released within a few hours, an 18-year-old son was locked away for 48 hours while Daniel was locked in a detention center until his deportation. On December 19th, a demonstration in support of the Roblero Morales family was held at the offices of Kitchener-Waterloo Member of Parliament and Minister of Diversity, Youth and Inclusion, Bartis Shager. Concerned community members and groups such as LS PIRG, Our Time KW, and the Alliance Against Poverty participated in the action, where they delivered an oversized Christmas card asking the minister to support the family and allow Daniel to return to Canada. Despite the family being separated, potentially for years, being already denied refugee status, traumatized by detention, and facing a dangerous and uncertain future, Chager told local news outlets that the system was fair and compassionate. Supporters of the Roblero Morales family also asked folks to contact Immigration Minister Marco Mendocino, Public Safety Minister Bill Blair, and your local MP, and ask them to stop the deportation and support permanent residency of the family. While still waiting for the residency application under humanitarian and compassionate grounds to be decided upon, the family did receive a minor reprieve when immigration officials agreed to not deport other family members until their pre-removal risk assessment was resolved, a process which could take years. Now for the interview. Thank you for joining us today, Stacy, to talk about this important issue. To start, could you tell us a bit about the Roblero Morales family? What brought them to the point of seeking refugee status in Canada?
Sandra and Daniel are originally from Guatemala. Sandra left when she was about 13 years old as a child. They left separately. They went to the U.S. to seek safety because they were facing persecution and violence in their home country. And they met there and they started a family together, and they were there for decades. And then Trump got elected in 2017, and they were very fearful that their children would be taken away from them and that they, as undocumented people, would be deported. And we have seen this happen with thousands of families that are seeking refugee status in the U.S. And so they came to Canada then, and they have family here, and they sought refugee status here, along with their six children that had been born in the U.S. And they received a negative response on that application. And so they applied for permanent residence on humanitarian and compassionate grounds. And so they're still waiting for a response on that application. It's different from an asylum claim. And so they're facing, they've been threatened with deportation, even though they haven't received a response around this application that would allow them to be able to stay here. I would just add another important component is that three of the children have serious health issues. And so they're able to get treatment here that they wouldn't have access to in Guatemala, and also in the U.S. it would be difficult for them to have access to it. And so they're here and they're facing deportation. The dad and father, Daniel Robledo, was already deported on November 2nd, and the rest of the family is also threatened with deportation, but there's been a recent development in their case.
Could you provide listeners with a short timeline of events regarding the Robledo Morales family, maybe starting with October 15th, when the Waterloo Regional Police collaborated with the CBSA, the Canadian Border Security Agency, to detain the family?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Daniel was driving his children to school, and he was, quote-unquote, routinely stopped by the police, and they handed him over to Canadian immigration authorities, and the children were placed in immigrant detention, albeit fairly briefly, and the son, who had just turned 18 2 weeks before, was held in detention for 2 days, while Daniel was placed in immigrant detention for 3 weeks until he was deported on the 2nd of November. So it's not clear why he was deported ahead of the rest of his family, but the rest of his family remained here. They had a meeting with CBSA, Canada Border Services Agency, where they received their deportation date of the 6th of February. And then they were called in for another meeting, and they met last Wednesday. And they were told that they would have the option to submit what's called a pre-removal risk assessment. And if they are successful in that application, they would be able to stay here. And unfortunately, those applications are only successful from, like, historically, it's like 1% to 3% of cases are successful. And so we're not super hopeful, but they are able to stay here until they hear back on that application. We don't know how long that will take, though.
On December 19th, at Waterloo MP Bartosz Chagar's office, there was an action in support of the family. Why was MP or Minister Chagar's office targeted, and how was that action received?
Mm-hmm. So she's their MP, and so as their MP, community members have been calling on her to take action in support of the family. And so the family has taken all of the legal recourses that they've been able to, and so we're really calling on the ministers, including she's the new Minister of Inclusion, Diversity, and Youth, and we feel like this case really aligns with that work. That's her mandate, and so that's why we were calling on her to take action, to speak with the ministers of immigration. Marco Mendocino is in that role now, and then Public Safety Minister Bill Blair. So she does have a role to play here in advocating for the family. And I would just add, it was really great to see community members and local groups like Ellisburg, Art Time, Kitchener-Waterloo, Alliance Against Poverty come together in support of Sandra and her family and to be at this action. And so at the action, we delivered an oversized holiday card. It had pictures from the children calling for their family to be united. And it had a message on behalf of the community to bring Daniel home for the holidays, and also to let the family stay permanently. Because until they have their permanent residency status, they're going to continue to be at risk of deportation.
And how are they being supported in the community? They're living in Waterloo?
They are living in Waterloo. And this was the first action that we've held, and we're going to probably have other actions because it could be a long haul until they get their papers. And I would say people have come together, like from their church community, to support them. I think just in terms of moral support and also other kinds of support. Yeah, there have just been different ways that people have stepped up within the community and also outside of the community. So there was someone that started a GoFundMe campaign in support of the family because Daniel was the main earner for his family, and now he's been deported. He doesn't have employment. And so Sandra is trying to make ends meet for her family. And so people have been stepping up to contribute to that campaign, and also writing to MP Bardish Chagger to call for action on this case.
Mm. Other than these public demonstrations and protests, how else has Known as Illegal been supporting this family?
We've been supporting around the campaign, helping in the campaign so that they're able to stay. More broadly, I've met with Sandra, trying to provide support and previous experiences around this kind of anti-deportation campaign. Mm.
Is there other things people, listeners that are tuning into this, other people in the Waterloo community, across Ontario, across Canada, can support this case? Mm-hmm. Is there specific asks that are going on?
Mm-hmm. One, we are continuing to call for people to reach out to the Minister of Immigration and the Minister of Public Safety to call on them to let this family stay and to bring this family together. So that's one. We're also looking for public statements of support for the family, in solidarity with the family. People can make donations through this GoFundMe or by contacting No One Is Illegal Halifax. Those are some of the ways that we're calling on people to support, but we're going to have further actions in the next little while that people can plug into as well.
Awesome. One of the things you brought up earlier was that they detained the children for short times, the 18-year-old son for several days. How does that fit in with Canada's children immigration, detention, family separation? Is Canada detaining children on a regular basis? Mm-hmm. Is this an ongoing thing?
Yeah, it is an ongoing thing. And even though in this case, for instance, the children were the youngest children from age 5 to 16 were detained less than a day, but it does have a significant psychological impact. Mm-hmm. It was a traumatic experience for them to go through. And I talked to Daniel about that experience. And so it's something that's difficult to talk about. It is something that's happening to other families here in Canada. And that's something that we're calling for an end to immigrant detention, which is often under inhumane conditions, and that includes also ending this practice for children too.
In this area, Kitchener, Waterloo, where do they have detention facilities for children, for migrants?
I think it's at the local jail, but I'm not 100% sure.
Because I know they use jails in Toronto, around Toronto, to do a lot of this detention. So. Mm-hmm. Maybe that's something we can do here, is trying to figure out where they're jailing, mm-hmm. jailing migrants, jailing children, and separating families. I think that's the biggest point. Mm-hmm. I know one of the big asks is, during this holiday season, mm-hmm. to bring the family together again. Do you think there's a chance that Daniel will be brought back or be allowed back in mm-hmm. before the rest of the paperwork is settled?
That's what we're calling for, because an application for permanent residence on humanitarian and compassionate grounds takes years. Mm. So it's possible, unless there's action, that they're not going to see him for years. Right. So yeah, that's a possibility, and that's why we're continuing to call for action on this case, because yeah, that's a really difficult situation to put this family in.
Now, is there anything else that you feel listeners should know mm-hmm. that's important about this case, mm-hmm. or really anything else that's related?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say that we often focus on how migrants and refugees are being treated in the U.S., and a lot of folks don't know what's happening here in Canada, and so I think it's important to look at the ways that Canada is complicit in what's happening in the U.S. So today we're seeing modern-day concentration camps at the Mexico-U.S. border. Those are really important issues, and we need to see how what's happening in the U.S. is also what's happening here, but in different ways. So we have family separation and family deportation This is not the first case of family separation. Not that long ago, there was another family. They're Colombian and Guatemalan origin, and they have a son that's a Canadian citizen, and they were deported recently. And so that's one case. That's another recent case. And they were deported to Guatemala, and they had to flee to go to Colombia because of the situation. So this is not the first time, and this is going to continue to happen until we have greater action, and we need to step up in terms of solidarity, because this is happening throughout the country.
And it's an ongoing thing? Like, this isn't some new policy from the Trudeau government since he's been reelected?
Not since he's been reelected, but actually Trudeau did step up deportations by 35% annually. And so there have been significant increases in deportations. So we're also calling for an end to deportations, because this is really uprooting people from their communities. And it's a really violent experience.
One of the news reports from the action on Thursday at Bardish Chagger's office, they quoted Bardish saying, you know, they have a very fair and compassionate system for settling matters of migration. Do you hold that? Do you believe that Bardish is telling the truth on that, that it's a compassionate and fair system?
I think that there are ways that the system can improve to be more fair for families. I think what we're seeing here is not fair. This family has been ripped apart, and they're fighting to be able to stay here. So I don't think a system that produces that is a fair system. But I am hopeful that something can be done in this case, and that we can see bigger changes so that this doesn't continue to happen. Canada does not, in the grand scheme of things, accept a large portion of refugees. And so I think we need to do more on that. The requirements, kind of the criteria to seek asylum, is very stringent, and there's a lot of people that don't meet that, even though the persecution and the violence that they face is very real.
More around this comparison between, a couple of years ago, all the settling, big news story, settling refugees from Syria, and kind of the media hype around that and how compassionate Canada was. It seems the media only really follows the big stories, the ones that are kind of fed to them. They're not looking at these individual cases.
My understanding, too, is that private sponsorship plays a big role in that. So it's, we see it as, oh, the government is being really generous, but it's only partly the government that's, supporting around these cases. There's a lot of community organizations and people that are stepping up there.
Thank you so much for taking the time today to speak about this. We'll make sure to get links up onto our website for this case, for Known as Illegal, and any of the actions that can be taken to help the family. So again, thank you very much.
Thank you.
You have been listening to an interview with Stacey Gomez, a member of Known as Illegal Halifax, Jibuktuk, and one of the many people working to support the Roblero Morales family as they struggle through the difficult process of seeking asylum and permanent residency from the Canadian state. For more information on this case, please visit grandrivermc.ca for several links, including a link for a fundraiser to support the family financially. This has been Dan Keller of AWOL Radio. Thank you for tuning in.